Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. This is a continuation of a number of things that Jesus is teaching in his last week. He's telling parables to his disciples and to those around who are listening. So let us listen. Jesus says, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to their own ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I almost hesitated to use the gospel text for this sermon this morning. As most of you know, it is stewardship season. And you'd probably think, oh no, not another money sermon. But while you can certainly adapt this parable to merely money, there's much more to it than just filthy lucre. The three servants are representative of us, of all of us. And while in the parable, the talents represent money, one can put the words gifts, time, talent, and treasure or money. God has given everyone hearing this an abundance of gifts and talents. Your gifts are the sum total of all the resources that God has given to you. Your gifts and talents are not just your genetic abilities and natural aptitudes, although these are a part of your gifts. Many of your most precious gifts are qualities and resources that have been developed in you over time. We know that the Lord wants us to use these God-given gifts, however varied and numerous those gifts are. So, what are the talents that God has given you? What are the talents that God has poured into you? Mary Schramm, author and retreat leader, has written a little book entitled Gifts of Grace. She suggests that there are five steps in discovering and using your gifts. Let me go through those gifts and steps with you. The first step is to discover your gifts. You always discover your gifts in relationship. You rarely discover your gifts in isolation. Other people help you to discover your gifts. It may be your parents or your teachers, your friends, or maybe even someone that you hadn't even known before. The second step is to accept the gift that God has given you. One needs to learn to accept that gift, the gifts that God has given to you and to those God has not given you. A key to understanding this is how jealous and envious you are of other people and their gifts. If you're jealous and envious of other people's giftedness or feel inferior, chances are that you have not really accepted your own blend of gifts that God has given to you. Now, the third step is to enjoy. Discover, accept, enjoy your God-given gifts. To take pleasure in them. To appreciate what God can do through your life. Now, the fourth step is to ripen or develop those gifts. Discover, accept, enjoy, and develop. Like all gifts, they need to be put to work, to be exercised, to be developed. Nothing in this world becomes stronger without work and an investment of time, self, and energy. Just to rely on native talent and avoid the work of developing that gift will lead you nowhere, but will cheapen your gift and you as a person. Now, the fifth step number five, involves all four of the aforementioned steps. And this step is to surrender all your gifts to God. It means to give all your gifts to Jesus Christ. If you don't, you will use your gifts for your own benefit, to glorify yourself and to satisfy yourself. Friends, it's either or. It's one way or another. There is no middle ground. Either you give your gifts to the service of Christ and His mission in this world, or you don't. When you discover your gifts, surrender your gifts and use your gifts. And when you do that, you're doing the will of God for your life. I've heard people ask, what is God's will for my life? Very simply, you do God's will in your life when you discover, surrender, and use your gifts to bless the world around you. We become the stewards of God's creation. We become the servants of the parable. So then, financial stewardship is important, but it is not the most important stewardship of all. Stewardship of our time is important, but it's not the most important stewardship of all. Stewardship of our talents is important, but it is not the most important stewardship of all. The most important stewardship of all is the responsibility we have to do everything from our heart. And when we do, we are able to spread the word about the immense love Jesus has shown for us and for our redemption. Looking again at the scripture, notice the master's wonderful affirmation of the servants who developed their talents and went about the business of the master. Remember when he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now get this. The one who developed the five talents and the one who developed the two talents were absolutely equal in God's eyes. The person who develops his or her gifts for use as partners with God is affirmed as good and trustworthy, no matter whether the gifts were many or few. What a wonderful equalizer that is. Now, one of the major lessons to this story is that there is great joy in developing and using our talents in life. Long partnership with the one who created us. And the most wonderful thing of all is that our inner joy has just begun, and that joy will never end. And finally, a lesson we learn is the fact that the third servant was fearful. He says, "Master, I know you are a harsh man." The servant acted out of fear that there would be reprisal for the loss of money. He didn't do anything toward furthering the kingdom. He was frozen with fear. But God does not want us to have fear. God wants us to have faith. With faith, we have been freed to be all that we can be. Faith is the foundation of our relationship to God, our starting point. Now, I found a poem by an unknown author, but this is something I want to share with you. It goes like this. Fear paralyzes. Faith empowers. Fear discourages. Faith encourages. Fear sickens. Faith heals. Fear makes us useless. Faith makes us functional. Fear generates hopelessness. Faith is full of hope. The last thing I want to look at is the fact that the master in the parable came back. Again, the servants didn't know when that would happen. But the scripture says it was a long time. It may seem like a long time, just like in these last few months. All with all the restrictions. But surely, surely, the Master will come. I think you will agree that when the Lord does come, we want to be found enjoying our use of the gifts, talents, time, and resources given by God to us to proclaim the kingdom. May the Lord help us to achieve the will of God. Let us pray. Giver of every good gift, we pray that you will guide us and direct us as we consider our relationship to you and our response to your love for us. Help us to know what will be pleasing to you, and give us fearlessness when we respond to your bidding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.